Hi, and welcome to my favourite Elliott Smith song. In this podcast, we do our best to keep Elliott Smith's legacy alive by speaking to well-known fans about their favourite song of his. So hi, and welcome to our penultimate episode of our fourth season. Our guest for this one is the musician and podcaster, Hrishikesh Hirway. Hrishikesh is the creator of the excellent Song Exploder podcast, a show I'm sure many of you will have heard before, which has also now been made into a TV program by Netflix. And Hrishikesh is behind the popular West Wing Weekly and Home Cooking podcast as well. But he says music is his first love. And he's been releasing music on and off for a number of years now. He very recently released a new song called Between There and Here under his own name. And he puts out several albums under the name The 1AM Radio from 2002 to 2011 as well. And Elliott Smith has been a big influence on Hrishikesh's music. So in this interview, we discuss how he first came across Elliott's work, what his music also means to many of his guests on Song Exploder, and we cover his favourite song pick too, of course. So here he is, here's Hrishikesh Hirway.
My name's Hrishikesh Hirway. For the purposes of this episode, I'm going with Angelus. I think the thing that really shocked me about the song when I first heard it, and which was when I first heard Elliott Smith's music at all, was the kind of fragile anger in it. I didn't know that you could put those two things together, those two words together, until I heard him singing. And that felt like it opened up some world of possibilities to me. Also, I was really struck by the guitar playing in the song. I was just blown away by it.
Yeah, it's that the guitar at the beginning is just kind of incredible. And it feels like that's maybe this song is like, and that guitar is one of like the kind of iconic Elliott Smith moments.
Yeah, I remember listening to it and thinking, how many people are playing on this track? and then slowly realizing that it was just one person. I couldn't believe that one pair of hands was doing all of that. Someone's always coming around here, trailing some new kill. Says I seen your picture on a $100 bill. What's a game of chance to you? Him is one of real skill. So glad to meet you.
It to you is the song is it him kind of railing against the music industry? Is that what you take from it as the kind of the meaning?
That's how I interpret it. But honestly, when I first heard it, I didn't think that much about it. You know, that kind of music industry stuff, it felt so distant from me. I didn't really relate to that at all at the time, and it was really just the feeling of it, that mistrust and sort of wounded quality to his singing, and the kind of like relentlessness of the whole thing that really struck me. Picking up the ticket shows there's money to be made. Go on, lose the gamble, that's the history of the trade. You add up all the cards left to play to zero and sign up.
So set the scene for us. Where were you when you were first discovering this song and kind of feeling all those feelings?
I was 18 years old, and it was the summer of 1997. I had stayed in New Haven, Connecticut, where I was going to college. I had decided to stay at school that summer, and I was doing, you know, like my summer job in the city, and I was doing this fellowship. I was going to Yale, and they have a like a program where you can work in the city of New Haven, and Yale will actually be the people who will pay you. And there were a couple of guys who I had known a little bit from playing music. I had been playing drums in a band pretty much once I met a couple of people my freshman year in college, and we would play shows here and there, and there weren't a lot of bands, especially kind of like in the indie rock world, at school. And there were a couple of guys who I'd met from that, and they kind of took me under their wing. They were a few years older than me, mm-hmm. and they were also spending the summer in the city. And so I remember just hanging out with them. I think they felt a little bit bad for me. I didn't really know anybody, and I was just sort of on my own there. And they lived together in this apartment. They were just like two cool guys. And between the two of them, they had this incredible CD collection. They had so much music. And they both would write reviews. One of them had an internship writing occasionally for the Village Voice. It was just like they were just so cool. Yeah. And so they would get all these free CDs to review and to listen to, and sometimes they would get to keep them. And anyway, between the two of them, they had a lot of repeats. They'd combined their CD collections, so they had a lot of doubles of things. But anyway, I would just go into their apartment and just stand in front of this massive shelf of CDs. I mean, there must have been 1,000 CDs. And they kind of were responsible for a shift in my musical listening, or at least like pushing me further along the road. They introduced me to so much music that summer. And besides playing drums in this band, I also was writing songs a little bit. It was still pretty early for me, but I was playing these songs, just acoustic guitar and singing. And I remember they were like, "Oh, have you heard Elliott Smith?" I was like, "No, I haven't." And they played me Either Or, and I remember listening to it in their apartment one night in New Haven after dinner, and just being transfixed.
You know, that was obviously more than 20 years ago. And has your relationship with Elliott Smith music and this song in particular, has it changed over those years? Is this a song that you still listen to and go back to?
It's definitely a song I still listen to. You know, I think because of his short life, and the short time that I had with him, with his music, my relationship hasn't really changed. You know, he hasn't put out a lot of albums, you know, for me to be able to have an evolving relationship. Also, the impact of that record was so big for me that, I don't know, it made such a big dent in my life that it would be hard to change the shape of it. So it's really still something that I return to all the time, and I still feel the same way about it now as I do then in terms of my love for it. I think the thing that has changed is I didn't really understand the depth of the pain that he was in. I didn't know anything about his life. I would read the lyrics and read all the liner notes, and I really loved it, but he definitely felt very distant. And now I think I think this my sense of who he is has definitely deepened and changed, but it hasn't changed my relationship to the music.
Don't start me trying now.
One thing I really love about that song is that sort of eerie tone that starts the song before anything happens. There's that little, you know, that one note that plays throughout it, and just starting that song with that, it just I appreciated the kind of scene setting that it did for what's a song with very few elements. having just that one other element did a lot. And especially at that time when I was first trying to figure out writing songs, and about a year or two later for starting to record on 4-track and things like that, trying to figure out what I could do with a few elements, really, that album was a real inspiration. And then it led me to earlier stuff of his, and those, you know, more lo-fi recordings also really inspired me, because again, it felt like even closer to something that I could do, or that, you know, it didn't feel even, it felt a little more within my grasp in some way, in terms of the technology, which made the songwriting seem even more out of my grasp. It's like, oh my God, he can do this. He's just a guy with just a 4-track, and yet he's still able to make this.
Moving to Los Angeles, where you are now, does the song click more with you because of that? Or is it just that part of the song isn't really what kind of drew you to it ever at all?
You know, for better or for worse, I never had the experience of like industry people circling, you know, that kind of moment in the 90s when people, especially in the Pacific Northwest, just felt like they were potentially fodder for major labels. That feels very distant from any reality that I've had. For most of the time that I've been a musician, the music industry has been in decline. So I don't relate to that part in terms of like the literal meeting. But I think that suspicion and that skepticism, that he has, and just the like really complicated braid of different feelings that he's able to convey, you know, this kind of distrust of this person who's speaking to him, the fact that he's singing about it, shows that he's thinking about it. You know, he's like, the words aren't just falling on entirely deaf ears. I think it's a really compelling story and a really compelling portrait of two people, even though you only hear kind of the voice of the person who's speaking to Elliot Smith. The fact that, you know, it's him who's narrating the story, I guess. I think it's a really fascinating story, but yeah, not one that I'm like, oh, this is my life.
Sure. I think, I mean, and like reading, I don't know if you've ever kind of delved into some of the stories behind it, or the stories behind Elliot Smith, but you get the sense of, from what I've read anyway, you get the sense of this person who, on the one hand, wanted this level of fame, wanted to have success, kind of in inverted commas. But then on the other hand, you see songs like Angelus, where he's kind of really seemingly kind of aggressively going against it. And that was part of some of the issues that he had, is he wasn't really sure which way he wanted to go in.
Yeah. Well, there's the line, you know, all your secret wishes, the fact that there's a confession in that, I think, you know, that they are secret. He is revealing like, these are things that I actually want, at least the way that this person is interpreting, like he's being read by this industry exec. And I think there's some of the imbalance in the song feels like, yeah, he both doesn't want it and also is being read correctly.
I can make you satisfied in everything you do. All your secret wishes could right now be coming true. Be forever with my poison arms around you. No one's gonna...
I mean, talking about your kind of your approach to music more generally, are there any particular things that you see in this song or Elliot Smith more broadly that really influence you and still influence you as you make music today?
Yeah, I mean, once I started listening to his music, especially in headphones, that really changed things for me. You know, the way that he double-tracked his voice was something that I thought was amazing. You know, I sing really quietly too, and hearing him, how he approached that, I was like, I have to try that. Like, that just sounds so cool. And But yeah, mainly like the way that he was able to load so much into this, into his like hushed vocals, you know, that he was singing in this kind of lullaby volume, but the tone of it was so angry. And I don't think that I'd ever experienced that before. I didn't know that you could do that. and that was really, really remarkable. And then, you know, the thing that's funny about it nowadays is, I remember all those things and wanting to try all those things myself and feeling so influenced by it. And now, through my podcast Song Exploder, I end up, talking to a lot of artists who are quite a bit younger than me, who are like closer to the age that I was when I was listening to Elliott Smith for the first time, who are all as influenced by Elliott Smith in the same way as me, and who all want to do the same thing too. They're like, well, then I've listened to a lot of Elliott Smith, and so I double track my vocals, singing really quietly. And I remember there was actually a time, I think that, you know, a couple years ago, there was a moment where I had to consciously space out three different episodes over a year because I didn't want it to seem like every episode in a row was just people talking about how much Elliott Smith influenced them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Basically, I didn't like want. Exactly. Otherwise, it would have been this podcast.
I mean, one episode of Song Exploder that I was listening to the other day was Arlo Parks, who, as you say, is, I probably get her exact age wrong, but is maybe in her early 20s, 20 or so, and is a massive Elliott Smith fan.
Yeah, yeah. She was one. And then Phoebe Bridgers, I remember, talked about Elliott Smith and double tracking her vocals. There have been so many people who have talked about how much she's influenced them.
If, say, you were doing an Elliott Smith Song Exploder episode, would it be this song that you would pick to do in that series, or would it be another song?
Gosh, that's a great question. I don't know. What I usually do is I ask the artist what song they would want to do, and I give them the parameters. I say, like, what is the song that you feel a really powerful emotional connection to? I mean, I think with Elliott Smith, it's not really a problem there. You know, you can, it's how close he is to the songs emotionally is almost a little painful how palpable it is. So I think this might be like a problem of self-selection on my part. The reason why there's so many artists who end up saying they're influenced by Elliott Smith is just my influence creeping through. But I think I'm drawn to songs like for the podcast where it does feel like there's someone is wearing their heart on their sleeve at some level, whether it's really, really easy to interpret or whether it's something that they have to decode a little bit. That's what I'm looking for. So I ask an artist, you know, what's a song that has a really powerful emotional story for you? So I would probably ask him, there would be a lot to choose from. I hadn't actually thought about it until you've asked me this.
No, that's fine. I mean, I would absolutely love to have heard. Obviously, sadly, it would never be possible. But it'd be incredible to have heard him on the show. You know, picking apart pretty much any song, I think.
Yeah, you know, it's funny that we're talking about this now because last week I just put out an episode of a song with John Lennon, another person who, until I did it, I would have said, well, unfortunately, that's something that I'll never get the chance to do. But there happened to be so much archival material of him talking about his music and talking about the song that's in the episode, the song God, that we were actually able to make it. So I don't know that there's that same kind of wealth of material. Of like,
we'll have to dig through the archives. I'm sure there'll be like lots of people listening to this podcast that that would be happy to help out to dig through some things and try and find a song. Song Exploder, as we've been talking about, is has obviously had huge success and has gone on to become even a TV show on Netflix. But even though people may know you through podcasting, is music really your kind of your first passion?
Yeah, absolutely. I wouldn't make Song Exploder if it weren't for the fact that I'm a musician. You know, my interest in all of that stuff comes out of my first person experience of, you know, trying to make songs, writing, recording, and my own, you know, thoughts and struggles with all of those different processes, and just wanting to learn about what other people do.
You were releasing music under the name 1AM Radio. Yeah. But now, correct me if I'm wrong, but you're releasing music under your own name. Was there a reason that you decided to make that shift?
Yeah. You know, I remember like another person who I first started listening to that summer besides Elliot Smith was Nick Drake. And then I also listened to Smog, and I also started listening to Cat Power. These are kind of like a few singer-songwriters that I started listening to, and they all started becoming really big influences on me. And like I said, I was playing drums in this band, and then later I started playing my own songs. So originally I was like playing open mics in New Haven, and, you know, just playing a couple songs here and there. And the first time I started playing, I would play under my name. I would just play as Hrishikesh Hirway. I'll tell you what, like one thing that happened was I did a show, and on the poster, it was just my first name, just Hrishikesh. And someone asked if I made Indian music, like if my music was Indian.
Yeah.
And I remember another time I told somebody that they were like, "Oh, what's your music like?" And I was like, "Oh, it's like indie rock." And they're like, "Oh, Hindi rock?" I was like, "No, it's not." And I got really self-conscious about the about the idea that people were sort of seeing my name and judging it in a way, prejudging it in a way that might say like, "Oh, this isn't for me," in a way that they wouldn't for like when they hear the name Elliot Smith, where they'd be like, "Oh, this is a singer-songwriter named Elliot Smith. Let's check it out." That I couldn't have that same kind of just blank slate. And then the last 1AM Radio record to come out was a while ago. It was 2012. And I think that a lot has changed since then. I'd like to think that a lot has changed, and I'm a little nervous as you know, at this moment, my new music hasn't come out. It comes out in like 4 days. The first song comes out in 4 days. So I don't know how it's going to go, but I'd like to think that people are more open-minded and people are more used to seeing names of all kinds of different ethnicities and maybe detaching some ideas about genre or something from that. Yeah. You know, like you said, it's been over 20 years since I made that decision.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I very much hope for the sake of society that the name change does go well. And I'm sorry to hear the kind of the difficulties you had around, you know, just using your own name initially.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the thing is, at the time, I didn't even think that much about it. You know, I wasn't like caught in a lot of identity angst, which looking back also kind of makes me sad, because I think it was so expected and internalized. You're like, "Oh yeah, right. I'm different. So I need to act differently." I see so many singer-songwriters now from all different backgrounds and doing all kinds of music and stretching that term so far. So I'm excited. No one's gonna fool around with us. So glad to meet you, Angela.
Thank you very much to Hrishikesh Hirway for being a guest on the show. I've been a big fan of Song Exploder for a while now, so I was very excited when he agreed to take part. And do check out his music if you can as well. It's available in all the usual places. So we have one more episode for you in this season, and that one is with Craig Thomas, one of the creators of the TV show How I Met Your Mother, and that will be out in a couple of weeks' time. That's pretty much it then for today. Thanks again to our guest, Hrishikesh Hirwe. Thanks to Elizabeth with Stanley for producing the show with me. And thank you for listening to it. See you in 2 weeks' time.